Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much of what it used to be. There's so much hatred.
It's Rashid Salam, and your engineer for the night show, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And I'll bring you to your host tonight, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, I'm Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ولا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم مبارك. That is with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation of the Prophet Muhammad, the prayers and peace be upon him. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host, facilitator, and the producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And for those of you who may be listening in and tuning in for the first time, we want to apologize to our radio listening audience for the technical difficulties and being a little late in getting on. That don't usually happen, but are very appreciative of those who was able to stick and stay and not stray away. And I'm quite sure that as you listen in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it'll be worth your while. For those who are first-timers here, we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. And by it being your learning lab, we invite you to ask questions on any of the information that we may disseminate tonight or in the previous learning labs that we've had here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You can do that by pressing 1, a question that you may have, or you may want to offer some commentary to some of the commentary and information that Quran Shakir and myself will be disseminating tonight on this learning lab. And we welcome that, and you can do that by pressing 1. And we also want to say to those who may tune in each and every Thursday night, it may not have much to say, we'd invite you to also participate, because what it is that you may hear tonight, that if in fact it is resonating with you, you're benefiting from that, most certainly Quran and myself would love to hear from you also, and you can do that by pressing 1. Also, I want to say to those that we know we have quite a few listeners that actually listen in by way of the Internet. For you to be a participant, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, if you're listening by way of the Internet, for you to ask the question or to make a comment. You have to call into the studio of IWDM Radio, and that number is 714-816-4673. And you'll be able to ask your question or make your comment. Quran Shakir will alert me that you're in the queue and you got your hand up, and we will welcome your question and or your comment. We want to establish that we have established some staples here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as well as the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And we have three main sources that we utilize. Number one is Al-Quran. Number two, it's a life example of the Prophet in the living demonstration of the Quran. And number three is the tafsir, which simply means the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad of both Quran and the life example of the Prophet. Those are our main sources. And we want to say for at least 6 weeks or so, we have been on the premarital questionnaire. So I don't know if my co-host and co-facilitator has arrived yet. I know they would be maybe a couple of few minutes late. But, Quran Shakir, if you're out there, please let me know that you are there. So I do have Rashid Salam as engineering tonight. But I also want to say, in terms of this premarital questionnaire, it's a very important tool that we have used for quite a few years here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is going into its seventh year. Matter of fact, October 13th this year would be 7 years. This particular learning lab, Courtship and Marriage, started out on our sister station, which is AM 360 Radio with Munira Habil and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And now it has been continued here on this platform, IWDM Radio with Quran Shakir and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And we've utilized...
Sister Quran is going to be a little late, and I am here to do what she asked me to do for you.
Okay.
This is Patricia Salahuddin, and so I have the review for you when you get ready for it.
Okay. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. So we're a team here on IWDM Radio. So that's Dr. Patricia Salahuddin sitting in for Sister Quran until she gets here. And so we will go to the review in just a couple of minutes here. But I wanted to say to those who you have tuned in, there is a prerequisite that is required before you begin to answer the questions under the various categories that we have. We advise that you first look over the premarital questionnaire and that you answer all of the questions personally for yourself. And if you're blessed to find someone that have an interest in you and vice versa, a mutual interest, you have a mutual interest in them, then you both can ask each other those questions under the various categories. So you may ask, what is the prerequisites for this particular questionnaire? Basically, four things. The first is that the prerequisites is sincerity. And how we came about that is that it was reported that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him, reported as saying that religion is sincerity. Religion is sincerity. So when we look at the sacred institution of marriage, the Prophet has said that religion is one half of our deen or one half of our religion. Okay? So religion is sincerity. So sincerity has to be a prerequisite if, in fact, that you're going to look at the sacred institution of marriage, and courtship is a vital part of that process to see if, in fact, that there can be a partnership. So the courtship phase of this this road or journey to the partnership, what we call the sacred institution of marriage, is very, very essential, needed, and necessary. So you can't be playing, so it has to be, you have to be sincere or sincerity. And then the next is honesty. Honesty and then integrity. Of course, once again, these are prerequisites because this was what Prophet Muhammad was known as As-Siddiq and El-Amin. As-Siddiq being the truthful, El-Amin being the trustworthy. So these qualities are very, very important when we are looking for a mate. So this is part of the prerequisites, is that we have to engage this premarital questionnaire with honesty and also integrity. Because in this communication, you're trying to find out information. As Quran like to say, fact-finding, find out information. So if you're dishonest and you're not trustworthy, and you're not believable, then this premarital questionnaire won't give you the needed and necessary information in regards to that prospective mate. So sincerity, honesty, integrity, and the fourth one is transparency. Transparency, meaning that you have to be open. You want to have the respect for that potential mate and vice versa, so that you don't look at that person as a suspect. So how do we avoid being suspicious or thinking somebody is a suspect and not giving them their due respect? How do we avoid that? We avoid that through transparency. So let's remember that, you know, as we go through the premarital questionnaire, that sincerity is required, honesty is required, integrity is required, and transparency is required. I want to say also that any point in time in engaging in the premarital questionnaire, it could possibly be a deal breaker, a deal breaker. And so that's where the honesty and integrity comes into play. The transparency come into play, whereas that you just don't be accepting something and you say in your mind that I think I can change them. I think I can change them. No, you don't want to do that. You want to have that discussion. You want to have the mutual consultation in the beginning phase, which is the courtship. You want to have that. And maybe it may not be that either one of you are bad in terms of quality characteristics, but you may not be good for each other. And that's the way you have to look at it. And so thus far, we have covered the first being personal background history, and then that was followed up with educational background history. And then that was followed up by work background history. And then it was followed up by money management. And that was a really big biggie there, money management, as oftentimes this brings about divisiveness in family life and most certainly in the marriage life. And then interpersonal qualities. And a lot of discussion and information was given on interpersonal qualities, and we really zeroed in on anger management in that. And then marital responsibilities, which is what we somewhat went over last week. And so for that, we're going to go to our sit-in co-host and co-facilitator tonight, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean. Thank you, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, for sitting in for Quran until she arrived. And so we'll go to you for the overview of what we covered last week, and then we'll kind of pick it up in terms of where we left off last week. And I know I promised to do a exercise with our radio listening audience called Exology, and we'll go into that a little bit. You know, hopefully we have a radio listening audience that will be willing to participate to see where our values actually lie. So with that being said, assalamu alaikum to you, Dr. Patricia Salahuddin.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I'm honored that Sister Quran asked me to sit in for her. We are going to give the review, and it's the expectation of marriage is the discussion. Look at the concept of an Islamic or spiritual marriage. Do you want an Islamic, civil, or both marriage? This idea of defining your marriage before you marry will help greatly as you go on the fact-finding mission in search of a mate. You will know if you want someone to grow with spiritually or if that is not a major concern for you. You may or may not want someone who will teach you religion as much as you prefer someone who gives you more time to study on your own. These things matter when you are in the relationship and you are living the day-to-day in practice of the religion or not. Avoid frustrations by asking the pertinent questions to get the answers that will help you make informed decisions. What do you see the role of the husband/wife to be? We discussed the fact that age and experience matters in that search. Revisit your own childhood to appreciate your thinking about the role of the husband and the role of the wife. What did you see experience? How did you form your views of the husband and the wife? What do you want of your own mate? That guides your attitude and the things you seek in a mate. It will also guide how you respond to one another. Make a list of three most important things you desire of a potential mate and ask this question of a potential mate. Figure out your priorities in a relationship. A lot of times we talk about challenges in marriage. There should be a conversation about how to resolve conflict. We will continue this conversation about resolving conflicts. Okay. Back to you, Mark.
Okay. Alhamdulillah. And I think that's where we left off in terms of resolution for conflict. Let me say this, is that Almighty God, Allah, gives us the framework for every aspect that we can actually encounter in terms of relationship, including conflict resolution. You know, Allah values the sacred institution of marriage so much that He gives revelation in revealing to us because He knows that it is that we will differ, that we will differ. And so one of the ayats in the Quran that Allah uses for that is that He says that we should obey Allah, obey His messenger, and those that have been placed in authority among us. You know, and oftentimes Allah places those in authority among us, and oftentimes we have a say-so in terms of those who are placed in authority among us. But then Allah says in the same ayah, in matters where you differ, in matters where you differ, refer it back to Allah and His messenger. So that means that you may differ with those who've been placed in authority among you. You know, we're not saying that in terms of marriage, that in terms of authority, because it is both the husband and the wife that have to obey Allah and also his messenger. But it's also a possibility that they may differ, and that difference may lead to a conflict. And Allah says in another place in the Quran, if the two desire to restore peace in that relationship, then Allah can bring about reconciliation in the relationship. Now, I'm giving this up from by way of the Quran so that you can see that Allah is always looking to preserve what he has established to be a part of his will and plan for the preservation of not only the marriage life, but also the preservation for the family life, because in fact, that if in fact that the marriage is broken, that also means that there will be a breakage in the family life. And this is how a family life is extended. You know, we often have used Surah Al-Furqan for the verification of that, where Allah says that he has created the human being from water, and then he established the relationship of lineage, which is family, and marriage, and know that Allah has power or influence over all things. So the natural urge is to have peace. You come together with peace, and Allah has promised that that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility when you select the right mate. He has made many mates, and you are to select a mate of like nature, where you have the commonality. This is what the premarital questionnaire is designed to do, to see, in fact, if in fact there is a commonality where there can be compatibility. And then Allah said that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. And that's in accordance with the creation. The creation, if reading the creation, we see quiet, we see peace, we see order, and we see beauty. This is something Imam Muhammad directed our attention to in that, in looking at Revelation. And this is what we want to have in our relationship. We don't want chaos. We don't want disorder. We don't want ugly in our relationship. So peace, order, and beauty. So when we have conflict, it disturbs first thing it disturbs is the peace. It disturbs the peace of both parties that's involved in the relationship. Now, you know, when Allah says that if the two desire to restore the peace, it can't be just one. Okay, so when you got conflict, you both want to resolve the conflict. This is very important. When we actually read in the Quran, the prerequisites for reconciliation is Allah will become a helper, as we say, a manager. We make Allah a partner. If he becomes a manager partner in that relationship and those two agree, then Allah will be a partner in this relationship, but he would be the managing partner. So how will Allah manage? Both have to agree that when we disagree, that when there is a difference that we have, we're going to do what Allah says, which is refer it back to him. So that means that we're going to be referring it back to the word of revelation. What does Allah say about what is brought about this conflict? Is one or both not in accordance with God's word? Is one or both not trying to conform to what God's will is? And we know that where there's a will, there's a way. So there's a way that Allah wants us to relate to each other or interact with each other in the sacred institution of marriage. See, this is very important. We have to understand that the sacred institution of marriage is the womb and where the gestation and maturation of love grows and develops. You can't have it any other way. You have to be committed to what God's will is, what His will and plan is. And part of His will and plan is for us to be married. Now, who knows better? We.
Hey, Mark, I think you have a special person on the line right now. So,
okay.
Your co-host.
Okay. Okay,
if she's in, then I'll just relinquish my
okay,
seat.
Okay,
take
you're fine.
Okay.
Just bow out. Thank you so much, Rashid. So, so we want to always maintain this thinking. Always want to maintain this thinking. We want to get to the point, and this should be the ultimate goal for all of us as Muslims or as Mu'min. We want to get to the point where we're thinking with the Quran. Our thinking, our thoughts should be Quranic. We should be thinking with the Quran. So when we look at conflict resolution, the source that we should be going to first is the Quran. Okay, what does Allah say about that? So that's when you say refer it back to Allah. So when you're referring it back to Allah, Allah's communication to the human being is in the form of revelation, the final revelation, which is the Quran. What does Allah say about this? And he says, refer it back to his messenger. Well, we should see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, as the living demonstration of the Quran. This is very important. See, not only do you get the instructions from the Quran, the framework, but you also get the demonstration of the Quran in the life of the prophet. You have to ask, okay, what would be the prophet's thinking? What did the prophet do in similar situations? This means that we also have to become studious, that we have to study. Every Muslim, every Mu'min, every believer should be proud to say, I am a student of the Quran. I'm a student of the life example of the Prophet. You see? I'm a student of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I say that because I'll forever be a student. You know, even when you're put in the position of teaching, as we have our beloved sister, Quran Shakir, one of our premier educators, even without asking her the question, I know what her answer would be. Quran is a teacher. She's the educator. But if I asked her if she's a student, she's going to say, yes, I'm a student and forever be a student. This is very, very important, which means student is one who studies. And you continue to study because there's so much to learn. And the more you get to know, the more you realize that you don't know what you don't know. This is very important. And then when we say Allah is the best knower, not us. And oftentimes what brings about conflict is because one may have a certain thought or opinion or a feeling about something. And one of the things that we have to do in the sacred institution of marriage is to lose that, to lose it to the point, I want to know what God says about this. I want to know what his representative, the model example for human beings who have modeled every vital aspect of human life, including the sacred institution of marriage. What does he say about this? And then what did he demonstrate? What did he do in his lifetime as he was confronted with issues that are common issues for all human beings? So we have to understand we'll be confronted with challenges, and we're not going to always agree on everything. We're going to differ. We're going to differ. But we're going to resolve that difference, whereas it will not become a factor in bringing about a divisiveness or ultimately a divorce in that regard. So we have to go back to what Allah says. If the two desire, Allah has given instruction to desire to restore peace in that relationship, then Allah will bring about reconciliation. But that's a prerequisite, not just one. Oh, you want to restore the peace. The other person says, no, I don't want to restore the peace. I'm really upset. You know, it has to be two that want to restore peace, and then Allah will help to bring about reconciliation, reconciling the differences that we have. But we have to follow the framework that Allah has set out for us in terms of the preservation of the sacred institution of marriage. A lot more I could say about that, but I am elated, and I'm quite sure you are. They have our very distinguished and esteemed co-host and co-facilitating producer of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, dear sister, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum to you, Quran Shakir. Take yourself off of mute if you're on mute.
The mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum, Quran Shakir.
Maybe she's not on yet. Maybe she
okay.
just called in, and she's getting ready to come on in a few minutes, I think.
Okay. I'll
keep the mic open. Her mic is still open.
Okay. That is what it is that we're looking at in terms of just giving you some insight on conflict resolution. The first source is the Quran for that, and also his Rasulullah, his messenger of Allah. I also promised the radio listening audience last week, I mentioned the word exology. That word is spelled A-X-I-O-L-O-G-Y, exology. I want to say it's a dressed up word for actually expressing the prioritization of values, And I wanted to do this exercise before we actually got into tonight's learning lab, which is part of the learning lab. We'll have from time to time different little exercises that I think can be helpful that I've used in workshops before, you know, this exology. Will kind of give you an idea of what it is that you really prioritize in terms of values. Mm-hmm. And this is an exercise that you can use, utilize with that perspective mate. Now, what are the rules here? Okay, the rules is very simple. You can't let them see your paper. You can't look at their paper to see if, in fact, that whatever their values are matches up with your values. Is it congruent? No, you have to do that independently. So I'm going to ask our radio listening audience, if Quran is not here as of yet, this would be an excellent time to go ahead and do this exercise. So I'm going to ask everybody, include Rashid Salam, if he's still listening, to just do this now. Let me say this to you. Usually whenever you do an exercise or something like that, people become a little hesitant. I don't know, you know, if I put it down right. Let me tell you now, there is no right answer. There's no, like, no right answer. So take that fear away from you, the apprehensiveness. Oh, I didn't put them in the right order. Yeah. Am I hearing you Quran? No, I guess not. Okay. So there is no right answer. Pardon me? Assalamu alaikum. I'm hearing some feedback here.
Let me close her mic. Let me close her mic.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Right. Thank you, Rashid. Thank you very much. And hopefully she will press 1 when she's ready to come in. So I'm going to ask our radio listening audience and those of you who may be listening in, I'm going to ask you to call in to the studio so that you can be a participant on this exercise that is named Exology. You can call in by dialing in 714-816-4673. So get your pen and get your pad, because you know when you come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, like the other learning labs that we have here on IWDM Radio, you should always come prepared with your pen and pad. So I'm going to give you a minute to get your pen and pad together, because you're going to have to write down these five values. You're going to have to write them down. And while you're getting your pen and pad, these are the rules. If you're married, you can't look at each other's paper. Okay? You can't look at each other's paper. And if your spouse is, for whatever reason, is not listening in, you'll be able to conduct this exercise with them. Oh, yes. It's a very simplistic exercise. But it actually will say something about your spouse that maybe you just really didn't know. And maybe sometimes you might wonder, why we have so much of a difference here, conflict. Well, maybe it is that your values are not compatible values, or you may just see things a little bit different, okay? So the other thing is that one would be your first priority value. Two would be your next. Three would be the third. And four would be the fourth. And we're going to do five. And the fifth one would be your least value. But now remember, they're all values. So we don't want to devalue them. But you only have 30 seconds. 30 seconds for you to actually put your number. After I give you the values, then you will have 30 seconds to put 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 behind them. So hopefully everybody got their pen and paper. I'm going to give you the values first, and then you'll have an opportunity to put the number one value for you, number two value for you, number three value for you, number four value for you, and number five value for you, with one being the highest, five being the lowest. Now remember, there is no right, there's no wrong. This is not a test. It's just an exercise, not a test. So don't freeze up. Oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's not right or wrong. And then I want to get some of you to share what your values are, and you'll be able to hear some others in terms of value. Now, here is, and I'm going to give to the order I'm giving them has no reflection on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So get that out of your mind, too. The first value is wealth. So write that down, wealth. And this is not the first, this is not number one value, this is just the first one I'm giving to you. The next value is freedom. Freedom. The next value is looks. Looks, or you might, yeah, just put looks, you know, I'm a handsome, a beauty, or something of that nature. The next value is justice. Justice. And the last value is family. 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 So you should have five. You should have family. You should have justice. You should have looks. You should have wealth. And what did I leave out? Did I say justice? Justice. Freedom. Excuse me. Freedom. And freedom. So you should have freedom. You should have justice. You should have family. You should have looks, and you should have wealth. So those are five. And so I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and now you start to putting, as you prioritize them, 1 to 5, with 1 being the first, 2 being second, 3rd being 3, the 4th one is 4, and the last one would be 5. And the time starts now, and I'm keeping the time. And we're at 5 seconds. We're at 10 seconds. We're at 15 seconds. We're at 20 seconds. We're at 25 seconds. We're at 30 seconds. So we ask you to stop. You don't have that much time in terms of thinking about it, so naturally, you know, that's what this exercise is designed. Now, I'm going to, Rashid, I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to ask the radio listening audience, those who participated. Now, remember, it's not a right or wrong, so you just participate in the exercise, exology. I want to know how many actually participated in this exercise. And all you have to do is just press 1 at this point. If you participated in this exercise of exology in the prioritization of your values, this is personally your values. So it's not a right or wrong. This is personally what you value first and foremost. Press 1 if you participated in this exercise. Please, just press 1. They're going to ask you to speak or anything now. So, Rashid, did we get any participation in this exercise?
We have 3 so far.
Okay. And then, Rashid, I asked you to be a participant, too.
I'm counting. That's what I'm counting. I'm number 1.
Okay, you're counting, too. Okay.
I was the first one.
Okay, so Rashid, I'm gonna ask you first in terms. Now, remember, this is not a right or wrong. So, I mean, you can just listen to what Rashid's values are, but that don't mean Rashid's values are right for you. This is his values, okay? So it's not a right or wrong. So Rashid, I'm gonna ask you first. Be the first one to convey your prioritization of values in this exology exercise. Rashid, give me 1 through 5, and then I'm going to come back to you at the end and ask you your reasoning, okay? So I just want you now to give me your 1 to 5.
Okay, I got 10 minutes for my next call. So my number 1
okay,
is freedom.
Okay, that's okay. And we'll get you in before you have to go.
Yeah.
I promise.
Number 1 is freedom. Number 2 is family. Number 3 is justice. Number 4 is looks. And 5 is wealth.
Okay. So let's remember that now. That's Rashid. Now, Rashid, now we're going to go to our radio listening audience. And we got at least two others, and hopefully there'll be some others that will press 1 and share. It's not a right or wrong. It's just an exercise. Okay, so who we have up first? Rashid?
Okay. We have 423-888. Please state your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Jemana Muhammad, Tennessee. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum as-salam, Jemana Muhammad. So your prioritization of values are as...
Okay, number 1 is family. Number 2, I can. Number 2 is, well, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah. So now remember, you know, I gave all the values to write down first, and then in that 30 seconds. You had to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, you know, so you
okay.
got number 1 is family. So what's number 2?
Number 2 is freedom.
Okay. Number three.
And number three is five.
Okay. But it's five. Wait a minute. Don't do it like that. I need you to say the name of the value like that.
I'm sorry. Okay. Number five is looks.
Okay.
Two is freedom. Wealth is four. And justice is two, and family is one.
Okay, all right. So we're gonna come back to you to get your reasoning, because Rashid gonna have to go in a few minutes. Rashid, let's open up the other mic and see how this listener has prioritized their values. Rashid.
Okay. I chose number one as freedom is number one.
No. Wait a minute. I thought we had one other person that participated.
That's right. We're 404. I think the hand dropped, but let's see if she's still there.
Oh, okay. Come on, 404. Let's
404-368.
Yeah.
404-368.
Yeah. 404-368.
Mic is open.
There's no right or wrong. It's just your personal values here. Take yourself off of mute, 404. How did you prioritize?
I'm doing like she's participating.
Okay. Well, maybe they'll come back. It's sometimes difficult to do something very simplistic here. Okay, so Rashid, I know you don't have much time, and I hope I have an engineer here in a little bit.
I chose freedom as number one because I definitely want someone who thinks clearly and freely and gives me the character of that particular person because they are thinking for themselves and they're not dependent upon anybody else. I do want an independent freedom thinker. Number two, being that I have an independent freedom thinker, then we can have a discussion about family, and I think that's more important once we get together or once we are together. Then the second thing I want to talk about is family and the future. So that was my number two.
Okay.
And three was justice, you know, and that tells me something about that person's character.
Mm-hmm.
They have their freedom, their character is in here, and I think the character is really, really important because it tells me a little bit about their moralities, it tells me a little bit more about who they are as a person and individual, and they kind of environmental types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the looks are important. I mean, I was going to put that number one, but, you know, if that freedom is good, if that family and that justice is right, there's the beauty right there. So I chose four as my look. So beauty is external more than it is internal. Okay, I mean internal more than it is external. Should I say?
Okay.
And then wealth is something great because see, we can build wealth together, whether she's wealthy or not. If I have the freedom with this person, the justice and the family concept, we can make ourselves wealthy together. So from a relationship perspective, you don't have to be rich. We just have to make that money. That's all. We can make money. So that's where I was thinking. So anyway,
you know what? I love your reasoning. I see this is his personally. That doesn't mean that this is right for any of you all here.
And the other person is not right for the other person.
Yes, right. But this is his, and so he has put up a good case for his prioritization of values, you see, in that regard. And you can't quorum with that. This is how he see it. And for him personally, for Rashid Salam, that is the prioritization of his. So if 404, has 404 come back yet? Come on, 404, come back. But in the meantime, between time, I'm going to ask Jemana Muhammad, and hopefully she has her order straight, so she can do it real smoothly in terms of why she chose this for one, this for two, this for three, this for four, and then finally what she chose for five. So, Jemana, give us your reasoning here.
Okay, for wealth, it's number four. So we don't have to be rich, but we
You mean Jermana. So we don't want to do it like that. We want to do it in the order. We don't want to see, just like what Rashid did, you know, he made a case for number one. Then he made his case for number two, number three. We want to go in the order, okay?
Okay, I got you. Okay, number one is family. I'm big on family because that structures me. Small or large family would be number one. Number two is justice. Justice for me is being treated fairly and knowing I can trust that person. Okay, number three is freedom. Number three, freedom to me is that I am able to practice this religion and not be shunned or made shame of.
Okay,
number four is wealth. Wealth to me is not, I would not like to live paycheck to paycheck, but I would like to have a viable income. Okay, number five is looks. Let me say this. Allah made everything beautiful. And beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. So I don't meet ugly people. I meet beautiful souls. So that's number five would be looks.
Okay. I say, alhamdulillah, I think you made a good case for your prioritization of your values for Jermana Muhammad, you see. So that is your personal prioritization for values, and I think you made a good case for each one of them. But that doesn't mean that for somebody else that would be right for them, but this is for Jermana Muhammad in that regard, just like Rashid's. Is his. Now, Rashid, do we still have 404 there? And I'm going to ask 404 if they would be a willing participant in this exology exercise. Now, remember, you all, if you get the exercise, there's not a right or wrong, and you don't have to share your reasoning, but even if you would just share your prioritization, that in terms will be helpful. Because when you're doing this, if you're married or if you're not married, this will kind of give you an idea. I know the first time that I did it here in St. Louis, I had a pretty good audience, maybe 25, a little bit more than 25, maybe close to 30, somewhere between 25 and 30 people. And I remember the composition of the audience. We had about four. Maybe five, but I know at least four, but maybe five married couples. And then the rest of the audience was comprised of unmarried people. Now, what we found out and discovered and uncovered was, believe it or not, that those that were married, and at least three out of the four, it was like, they had totally different prioritizations of values, totally different. Now, the one commonality I would say that both Rashid and Jermana had is that they put looks further down on the totem pole. And even wealth. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Rashid, you still there?
This is Quran. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. alhamdulillah. Just conducting the exology exercise that I promised. You have been listening. So, Quran, did you get those five values? And
I was actually driving, so I couldn't write
them down. Oh, you
was
driving.
Down.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So I couldn't write them down.
Okay, so yes, I'd like to get you in on this. And so let me know when you're ready. And she's going to write them down, and she's going to be a participant too. We got a little participation. We had three, but then one decided they wasn't going to share an invasion. And I'm emphasizing this again. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's just a prioritization of values. It's called exology. Once again, how that's spelled is AXIOLOGY. It's a dressed up word for prioritization of values. It's called exology. It's an excellent exercise that you can actually, if you learn how to do it here tonight, you can do that with that potential mate, or you can even do it with your spouse. If you're already married, cool. You can do it with your spouse. Give them the same words or values and see how they would do it. Okay. So, Quran, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. So, Quran is ready. And this is in no particular order. Just want to say to you that one would be your first priority, two would be your next, three, your next, four, your next, and five would be your last, and there'll be five. And so the first one is wealth. First one is wealth.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is justice.
Okay.
Third one is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The fourth one is looks.
Okay.
And the fifth one is family. Now, Quran, I'm going to give you 30 seconds, and in 30 seconds, you're going to have to put one, two, three, four, or five behind those that is would be the prioritization for values for Quran Shakir, and the time starts now. We're at 5 seconds. We're
and
at
I'm
10
done.
Seconds. Oh, she's okay. Done. She didn't even need the whole 30 seconds. Okay. Okay, Quran. So, oh, boy, you are really quick. All right, Quran. So,
you know.
Please share with us. We have Jemana still on. She made a good case for hers, and we had Rashid before he had to step aside. He made a good case for his. So now, first, I want to hear, we want you to share with the radio listening audience, how did you prioritize those values? And then after that, then I want you to make your case for your personal prioritizations.
Okay. All right. So
okay.
The first thing I value would be family, the second, justice, the third, freedom, the fourth, wealth, and the fifth, look.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, and I need you to make your case for your prioritization.
Yeah, this is for me based on my own experiences and all of that. So thing is family because, you know, for me, that's the foundation of community life is family life. So I value strong families, committed families, and connected families. So someone would have to be a family-oriented person for me. That's important. The second thing, this idea of justice. And justice comes to me mainly because of the experiences that I see in the world and what I want to see of life itself. And I know that justice is not something that comes easily to most people. And as a woman, I feel like there are a lot of men who don't know the meaning of justice. So I need to see that idea of justice. Because sometimes we can value this idea of being fair and above board when it's ourselves, but when it comes to other people, it's not always easy to give. So that's very important to me, the justice, being fair, being above board, speaking the truth regardless of circumstances, and being available to advocate for others. And then third is freedom. And for me, freedom has a degree of responsibility with it. And so I like the freedom to be able to make decisions and choices as an individual and to be able to have my own freedom value. So my freedom for self-love and to, you know, when I want to spend time with me, then that freedom is granted without it feeling like someone is being infringed upon, you know, like you got to always be available to them. So freedom for me is that ability to let the wings open and fly, and knowing that if you set something free, if it belongs to you, it will come back to you. And
yes.
So and then my fourth thing, only because it's here, because I love what Sister Jumaita said about being able to, you don't want to struggle financially, so you want to be stable and secure with your life. So I don't have to have, I don't have to keep up with the Joneses or the Rockmans or the whomever. I don't have to keep up with them. I just need to be secure in my being cared for. And that wealth means that security is for now and for the future. And so, you know, wealth, not just living paycheck to paycheck, as she said, but that ability to know that if we decided we didn't want to work for the next 5 years, we can do that. That's wealth. Because, and it's not just about money. Wealth is about, you know, the things that you have been able to secure that brings you money when you sleep. That's what I like. That's wealth for me. And then looks, only because it's on the list. Looks. I don't care about looks at all, except that I want the looks to be that this is a spiritually beautiful person, a sound thinker, and that looks good to me. The physical is not necessarily important to me if that person is a good, sound person and they love Allah and you can see that love of Allah. You know, it looks good on them. It doesn't look for that person. So that's my five.
Alhamdulillah. I think you made a good, strong case for for your exology and your prioritization of your values. You did an excellent job. Jumaita did an excellent job for making her case. And I saw a little similarity there between you two in terms of how you value those things and how you how both of you really articulate, and so did Rashid Salam. And, you know, one of the things I'm seeing the commonality when you're looking at looks, it seemed, though, that you're looking more in terms of internal, how in terms of, like, character. This is the real face of the person is their character. And of course, we should put an adjective there in terms of moral character. My grandmother used to always say, my older sister was, you know, she would say, you are pretty on the outside. She said, but your way is ugly. And she said, so then you're ugly. That's my grandmother. Now, she only went to the fifth grade in Mississippi school now, but she was a very wise lady in terms of saying that, because she wasn't looking at looks from an external perspective, but she was looking at looks in terms of internal, you see? And then so when we look at the prophet, we look at the prophet Muhammad, we can imagine that how Lady Khadija, Rahimahullah, Anna, how the prophet looked to her. And that the attraction was, it was reported that he was a handsome man. Okay, let's say that. But we don't find, if anybody is listening, and I ask the question, could you describe the prophet physically? You would have a difficult time, because I've never seen a picture of the prophet. I would dare say that most of you out there never seen a picture of the prophet. And anything that has been done on the prophet Muhammad, I know that the movie, the saga with Anthony Quinn in it, actually playing Hamza in it, there was no picture or anyone playing the role of the prophet. It just would have music and just identifying his presence and maybe what it was reported that he said. So we don't have pictures of the prophet. But I'm trying to, hopefully I'm making it very clear that the attraction to his first wife, 25 years of marriage in a monogamous relationship, Lady Khadija, she was attracted to him by his character. She saw the beauty in his character. That was the attraction, you see. So I'm hearing that. And then I'm also hearing when it comes to wealth that you want to be comfortable. You don't have to, like, be what you were saying in terms of being competitive. When they get this, I want to get this, I want to have that, you know, to be identified in that way. And oftentimes people who work toward the goal, it becomes a residual type income that they can actually have, and especially when they get older. You know, whatever it is that they have accumulated, then like this, this old Italian told me when I was serving my apprenticeship, he said, "Say, kid," he says, "I'm going to give you some advice." That's how he talked. He says, "Now you're in your apprenticeship." He says, "You work for money." He says, "But if you're wise, you'll make your money work for you."
That's right.
You see, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's wisdom, you see, in that regard. So people that do build wealth, you know, it's not only just in terms of money, but it might be in terms of property, businesses, or whatever, you know, in that regard. And also they have their family in mind, where it's something where it becomes an inheritance and is passed on to our children, you know, in that regard. So in making those type of connections and then looking at family as this was at the top of the list for all three of you. Both you, Karan and Jemana, had family number one. And if I'm not mistaken, that Rashid had family number two. And I think he had freedom as number one, you know. So he made a good case for that. But then family being at the top of the list, and we do know that family life is the first social unit in society. And this is what it is, Allah said he established. So when we go to the Quran, you know, we have a good case because Allah says that after he created the human being from water, then he established the relationship. And the first relationship was family relationship. I'm just doing this, you know, in terms of looking at the Quran, in terms of what is Allah established. And so that if, in fact, our reasoning being that Allah established this, and I think that more people prioritize family life, then that means there would be a greater effort and energy that would be put forth, and we can produce the type of family life that's in accordance with God's will and plan. And then, you know, after that family life is really in terms of the freedom. Now, I know you said justice. And I don't remember, Jemana, if your mic is still open. I don't know where freedom actually was for you, what number it was, but freedom is very, very important because this is one of the things that distinguishes the human creation from the rest of creation. Allah gave the human creation freedom, But it's the freedom, as Imam Muhammad said, the freedom to be responsible. This is something that is unique in our creation. It's a free will, but it's a freedom, the freedom to think. And actually, the word actually says something about the free dome. And we can look at freedom in many different ways and aspects. But the freedom that a human being has is unmatched in the natural creation, which qualifies us to be responsible and also judgment. So I think that that is so very important in terms of how we prioritize that. And then in terms of being free, now the question becomes, are we going to be just? And are we going to practice justice? You know, when it comes not only to other people, but also to ourselves and our close relatives. And Allah gives us revelation in that, that we have to be fair and just. You know, even to our enemies, we have to be fair and just. We have to be fair. We have to be just when it comes to our family members who we love so dearly, and we have to even be just in regards to ourselves. You see, so that is something that should be valued. And you're absolutely right. I've seen bumper stickers say, "No justice, no peace." And so we look at and assess the world today. Well, we see that where there's injustice, we don't see peace. We see war. We see turmoil. We see a decadent society and all. So all of these are valuable. Some have more value to others, and more emphasis is put on than others. But I just want to thank you all for being participants. And please use this. I mean, use this. Introduce that to your community, and let's give an opportunity to assess ourselves and those who are seeking spouses. It'd be interesting to see how much in terms of agreement that you are in terms of what you value versus that potential mate, and also even in your marriage life, to see where your spouse is and say, "Come on, honey, I want to give you an exercise. Don't tell me you're going to give them a test. They might lie. I don't want to take a test." So it's just an exercise. It's not a right or wrong. I just want to see how you match up, you know, what do you think, you know, personally and everything. And I think that oftentimes you'll find that there will be a likeness in some of those values that you have, that your mate also have. So thank you, Jemana. Thank you so much for participating in Quran and Rashid Salam. And I know we had a 404 that kind of bowed out. That's Atlanta number. But if any time they care to come on and share, we appreciate that. So, Quran, at this point, I'm going to turn it over to you. And we can pick up. I did give some commentary on conflict resolution, and and then Dr. Patricia Slaudine did read the overview, which was excellent overview of some of the things we covered last week. But I did give some commentary that we should be utilizing the Quran as the source, and some ayats from the Quran where Allah has given us the framework how we can prevent getting there to conflict. But if we did have conflict or chaos in the marriage, what's the prerequisites, what Allah says in that regard. So you can take it from there, correct? And
okay,
welcome to the marriage.
Alhamdulillah. So I'm so glad that we were able to do that axiology as well. And I think that's a wonderful tool for people to put in a toolkit. And just a reminder to all of us, you know, what we're doing here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab is really helping us, inshallah, to build stronger marriages and stronger families. And that stronger marriages and stronger families comes with us walking
in the door of that relationship with knowledge that benefits. And, you know, knowing what we need to know in order to be a valuable asset in that relationship and to have your eyes open. We're not wearing rose-colored glasses to our relationship. We're going in with our eyes open, ready to do the work, knowing that the utopia of the relationship is in the work. You know,
yes.
Some people think, you know, sometimes when you're in a relationship that it's supposed to always be smiling and skippity-doo-dah. There is work. And that work doesn't always make you smile when you're in the midst of the work. But I guarantee you, when you go through it, you will feel the results and the beauty of that. Some people want to go around it. Some people want to not have to experience any challenges. And there's a difference in challenges and problems. But they don't want to experience any challenges. And sometimes we need the challenges to strengthen the muscles in that relationship. So just a reminder to us. Now, we are working on a questionnaire. And so we just went through something very important, that ability to look at conflict in that relationship and to be able to determine what kind of person are you considering for marriage? How do they deal with conflict? What do they value when it comes to dealing with the conflict? So I don't know if we did all of the questions for the conflict, Mark. Did we?
Well, you know, I kind of gave an overall in terms of the framework that Allah uses in the Quran. And so if you want to go each by each one, A, B, C, if you want to do that, that's fine, alhamdulillah, because you might want to share something. But I just shared what Allah gave in the Quran in terms of how we can actually avoid conflict. You know, the challenges we have, as you said, we will have challenges, and the challenges are there to help us to grow strong, obviously.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned work, and, you know, as a word tologist, if you all can use this here, you know, then, of course, you can save it. If not, you can throw it in the trash. But I use the word work in the workshops and seminars and all that I do. If it's worth obtaining real knowledge, you were talking about, you know, having the knowledge, being conscious, your eyes open, and knowing that when you go into the sacred institution of marriage, it's going to be work. But if it's worth obtaining real knowledge, it's going to be work because we want to know. We want to know. But what is it that we want to know? We want to know what Allah wants us to know because we have to remember that we are servants of Allah. So what is that relationship? It is the relationship of a servant to the master. Allah is the master, we the servant. And we want to be obedient servants in serving what God's will and plan is for the sacred institution of marriage. So if we can prioritize things and rightly define the sacred institution of marriage, and if we can see and change our concept and precept of what marriage is, this is Allah's marriage. So which means that it is Allah's plan. This is His will. This is His plan. And we want to be in accord with His will and plan. So that means that we have to know something. We have to know. We have to know something. As Quran so excellently articulated, you can't just come in with your eyes closed, or you can't just come in with a Romeo, Juliet type way of thinking in that regard. You have to be knowledgeable, and the knowledge that you get, you want to get that knowledge by way of revelation from the Quran, and you want to receive that knowledge by the one that best demonstrated the Quran, Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah. So this is very, very important that we always are looking to consult the Quran first and foremost. That's our first source, as we say, that these learning labs are based on the foundation, which is Al-Quran, the life example of the Prophet, and also the Tafsir Imam W.D. Muhammad in helping us to understand and realize what Allah is giving to us, the instructions that he's instructing, signs he's given to us in the Quran, and also the life example in the demonstration of living the Quran, even in the marriage life. This is very, very important for us to realize and understand. So I gave an overall in terms of that Quran before you came on, and in terms of where the peace has been disturbed. You know, when the conflict peace has been disturbed, Allah gives us in the Quran, he says, and I'm paraphrasing, but those who know the Quran, they know that what I'm saying, that Allah has already said it in the Quran. It says, those who desire to restore peace, those that desire to restore peace, that Allah will bring about reconciliation. And why is that important? And why is that a prerequisite? Because as I said in previous learning labs, both here on this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage, and also the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, that Allah says in his natural creation, in that are signs for those who reflect. So when we look at the natural creation, especially at night when we look up in the sky, we see peace with all those celestial bodies, the ones that we can see in terms of the moon and the stars and the galaxies that's out there. We don't see chaos. We see order, and when you see order, you see peace. You see serenity that's there. But as your Imam Muhammad said, you also see beauty. Then this becomes a sign to what it is that we want to have in our relationship, both in the marriage relationship and family relationship. We want to see peace, and we want to always maintain the peace. Matter of fact, as a Muslim, you should see yourself as a peaceful person, as a peacemaker, not as a peacebreaker. But then where there's peace, there's also order. And then where you see order and you see peace, that's beauty. So we see beauty in this natural creation that Allah has created, but that's also what Allah wants us to have in our relationship in the sacred institution of marriage. You want to have beauty that's there. So when there is something that comes about that disturbs that, that disturbs the peace, that disturbs the order, where now it was once peace, but there's chaos, and where there was once order, there's disorder, and then what once was beauty is ugly. Ugly things are being said and done in the relationship. Allah says that where you desire to restore the peace, that, but it takes two, not one, or if neither one wants to do that, then the reconciliation can't be brought about. So we have a say-so. We have a say-so in terms of you know, we being able to reconcile differences, and Allah's help, as we said, make Allah a partner, but a managing partner. So Allah is telling us that you have a big part in this. Do you want to restore peace to your relationship? Do you want to restore order and beauty to your relationship? If both of you desire to do that, that's your desire. That becomes the niyyah. That becomes the heart. And to keep the purity of the heart, the purity of the intention, the desire, the motivation to keep that, then Allah will help and assist in terms of bringing that reconciliation about. But we have to be seeking God's guidance. And this is what Allah is saying. It matters where you differ, where you differ. And this is in every relationship. If it's a business relationship, you ought to refer it back to Allah and his messenger. That's what Allah said. This is not Marsha, he's saying this. You read the Quran just like I do. And if it's a family problem, conflict, then you ought to refer it back to Allah and his messenger. And if it's a marriage, a problem, a conflict, you ought to refer it back to Allah and his messenger in that order. I could say more about that, but I'll stop there. Quran, if you want to pursue it a little bit further, then alhamdulillah, I'm listening, taking notes.
Yes, I thought that was a beautiful way to present it. So thank you for that. But let's go to our listening audience, because we have 478-672. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Haji Lala from Ford Valley, Georgia.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. I didn't hear the entire program, but what I did hear, I appreciate that. But my comment is that my daughter just recently lost her husband, and she's, you know, having a hard time about it. But she also saying that she's not going to marry anyone because she's probably not going to find anyone like him. So I was thinking maybe I should say to her, I don't know because I'm still thinking about it, that, you know, we only one of a kind. Allah made one of a kind of everyone. So you're not going to be able to repeat the same type of husband. You may get something, Allah promised. When he takes something from you, he gives you something better.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Should I say that to her?
Let me ask you a question, my dear sister. What's your name again? I didn't catch your name.
Okay, Haja Lala.
Haja Lala. Okay. Okay, my dear sister. Let me ask you, how fresh is this in terms of the transitioning, or if I may ask?
Less than a month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to go to the Quran. You have to go to the Quran first. Allah says there is a nidat period. A nidat period is a period in terms of waiting, being still, so to speak. But it's also a time whereas there may be some mourning in terms of loss of the loved one in that period. And that period, as outlined in the Quran, is 4 months and 10 days. It's a longer period of time than it is for maybe, say, a person that has been divorced that period is 3 months. But for one that has lost a spouse, it's 4 months, 10 days. In that period of time, it is needed and necessary because there are going to be emotions. And I don't know how long they actually were married, but the last thing in any relationship is the emotional tie. And that can stay, it's been proven that can stay with a person for a lifetime. It did with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it came to Khadijah. The Prophet had to model monogamy, which he did for 25 years with one woman, and that was Khadijah, rahimahullah, Anna, and all. And then there was a period where he still had children. Matter of fact, they had 6 children together. I'm talking about Khadijah and Prophet Muhammad, with his 2 sons expiring early on in life. They didn't even reach the age of 2 years old. That was Qasim and also Abdullah. But the 4 girls he still had, you see. And so he had to, for a period of time, some reports say it was a little less than a year. Some say more than a year. Some say close to 2 years. So you get various reports in terms of when he was as a widower by himself, but trying to raise his children. And the first wife he married was Salda. It wasn't Aisha, but it was Salda. And Salda was an older woman. But he never, and this is one of the things with a little jealousy in terms of Aisha, rahimahullah, Anna, when it came to the Prophet, because he never did or would forget Khadijah because of their relationship. But he did marry again. Another short story you may have heard of, one of his wives was named Salama. She, Salama was one of the wives that when And it kind of was similar to what it was that you were seeing. I know Karan is familiar with this wife in the history in regards to that, because upon, I think her husband was injured in the battle of Uhud. And upon his dying bed, she went to him and she said, I heard that the wife of a righteous man, if she did not marry again, she would be guaranteed paradise. Well, Abu Salama, which was her husband, he warned her and he told her, I do want you to marry. I'm going to make dua that you will find a man that would be just as good or better than him. And this is what he said. She she thought and felt that there can be another man better than you. I mean, that's how much she loved her husband and respected and appreciated him to the point she was willing not to marry anybody upon his death. But he made dua that Allah would bless her. And as the story goes, just to speed it up here, it was reported that Umar actually had proposed to her, Abu Bakr Siddiq, and she turned them down. Now, here's the one unique thing in the history. She was the only one of the wives that the Prophet had that he proposed to that she originally turned him down. Can you believe this? She turned down Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she also gave him three reasons why she was hesitant in marrying again. And here was her three reasons. She said first, she said, I am a jealous woman. I am a jealous woman. So at that time in the Prophet's life, he was modeling polygyny. She said, I am a jealous woman. That was number one. Number two, she stated that she was getting up in age. Now, let me just give a little footnote. At that time, that when you got in your late 30s or early 40s, that was considered to be getting up in age, really up in age. And so that was her other reason. I'm really up in age, you know. And then her third reason, I think she had maybe five or six children. I don't remember, but she had a family and she had children. And she says, besides that, I have children. And so what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did upon her stating these concerns and interests that she had, this is also something for us today that we may look at in terms of concern and interest that was personified in Salama interest and concern that she was jealous. And so the Prophet said, I will make dua. I will make dua to Allah to remove your jealousy. Now here's Rasulullah saying, I will make dua to Allah. And this is Allah's servant to remove that jealousy. And remember now, in the time that he lived in, polygyny was practiced and everything. It would not be, it was not so much in terms of a social issue as we would have today because of the social dynamic, and especially for the African-American woman and man. That's an episode or two or three or four in and of itself to talk about, okay? But he said, I would make dua to remove the jealousy. And then the Prophet utilized a little humor. He says, so when it comes to getting up in age, he says, I also suffer from that calamity. So that's a little humor that he had, you know. So in other words, don't be concerned about you getting up in age. I also suffer from that calamity. And then he said, as far as your children, I will treat your children as though they were my children. In other words, no different. You see what I'm saying? See, so when he answered and responded to the interest and concern that she had, she then accepted the proposal and became one of the wives of the Prophet. So what her husband, Abu Salama, he was saying he made dua. So do would we say that the Prophet Muhammad was a better man than Abu Salama? Yes. Well, yes, he was. And actually, when we understand the religion, we should love Allah first and foremost, and then the next one that we should love first and foremost would be Prophet Muhammad. Now, you might say, whoa, wait a minute. Under the Prophet Muhammad, we should love the Prophet Muhammad more than anybody else. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And why? Because he personified what Allah wants his human creation to be. So he becomes the gauge. He becomes the barometer in which we look at our life. And so that becomes the goal. When we say we are followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we're striving the best of our ability to be more and more like the Prophet, you see, in that regard. And so we should have a love for the excellence and having the excellent example as a mercy to all the world in terms that's personified in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the dua of her husband, Abu Salama, was answered. She wound up being one of the wives, and we know that they were referred to as mothers of the Ummah. They were mothers of the Ummah. So after the Prophet transitioned, by Allah's revelation, it was not allowed or permitted to marry anyone, because there was not going to be anybody better than Rasulullah. I could say more, but I think I've said enough in that regard. So just listen as much as you possibly can in a consoling way, because in that period, a lot of emotions will come up and will come out from her in that regard. Then you make dua for her, and then Allah will guide you as to when you should say something and how you should say it to her. That's fresh. It's only been a month. That's very, very fresh. And when you've been with somebody for so many years, I know I can't find nobody better than this person was in my life. And that's what Usalama, that's how she saw it. That's how she saw it. You see, but we don't have another Prophet Muhammad, but there are some good men. There are some good men. If it's Allah's will, then he will bless her with somebody, as you said, that is just as good or maybe even better. We say, inshallah, God inshallah. Willing. Yeah, so I hope that what I said helped you out a little bit, inshallah.
Yes, it has.
Yes, ma'am. I want to say it sounds to me like you are a very attentive mother and a caring mother to her. And in the Quran, Allah talks about the mystical ties of parent and child. And your baby is grieving right now. And so I just want to say continue to be that soft rock that she can rest her heart on, such that she's able to unload those hurt feelings that she's feeling and experiencing. And in that process, even when she makes statements about, I don't think I'll ever find anyone like that, just hear her, with no answer. You don't have to give her an answer. You don't have to say, don't think that way, I don't feel that way. Just hear it and say, I hear you, and I cannot imagine how that must feel, and I'm here for you, those kinds of statements. And when the time comes, when her heart is ready, and Allah will decide that, then when she's ready to tell you, I think I'm ready, or, it begins to happen, be available again and guide her through that process. Because this right here at this time, loss and grieving is a challenging time, especially if you have a spouse who has been good to you. So, continue to be that great parent to her and let her block out those things without comment.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
And
Coran, that's some excellent advice that Sister Coran is actually giving, because sometimes just being there and being that ear and that shoulder, it means
that's
the world, that point.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Then, you know, Allah, and thank Allah for even giving us imagination. Some things we just don't want to experience, and nobody would want to experience losing a loving spouse. But you can imagine how they feel. She's just torn up right now. You see, so even, you know, Allah gives that Idat period. So that Idat period is very, very important to try to collect yourself. And she's going to have those type of emotions and stuff. And so that's excellent advice I gave you, just to be there. That mystic tie is still there. And you just have to understand and let her express herself, how she's thinking, how she's feeling, and everything. Be there with her through the whole of the process. Then there'll be a time where, you know, and Allah will guide you what it is that you need to say to her, everything.
Yeah.
I pray Allah that everything will work out well for her.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
right
okay.
now, she needs to just be expressive. Expressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The prophet cried. You know, he cried. I mean, you know, he's the messenger of Allah. But he cried quite a few tears in terms of Khadijah. He loved Khadijah.
Mm-hmm.
And his love for Khadijah did not dissipate even in her death, you see, in that regard. You see, but, you know, but the thing is that period is so very important. Those 4 months and 10 days, you know, this is not coming from a man. This is coming from Almighty God Allah, who's the best of knowers, the time period that we need. You understand when that happens?
Yeah.
When you become a widow, when you become a widower, when that happens to you, you couldn't marry. You're just like, okay, well, My spouse passed a month ago. Okay, so I'm in another 30 days. I'm looking to get married all over again. No, you can't. I mean, if you follow what Allah says, you can't do it. Even then, knows the human emotions. He created us, so even the emotions that we have, He know the process. He know what we're gonna be going through. So that's to give us the time. So just be that listening ear, be that patience that you have in you for her as she began to release and to express her feelings. And Allah will be your guide as to when you can say things to her, when it will resonate with her. Because a lot of people want to come and tell you this and tell you that. But you're not feeling that at that point. And that's fresh.
Yeah.
Only a month.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, thank you. Wa alaikum as-salam.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Quran, we never know on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here.
That's right.
I'm the
Allah. Allah's the best knower.
He's the best knower. He's the best knower. Yes, ma'am. So, Quran, as we get close, boy, time is passing so fast, you know. And all. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Quran, and where you want to go with this as we get closer to the top of the hour here. Anything else that you would like to share on that, or you want to make an introduction? What else do we have in terms of, was it marital responsibilities?
We have marital relationships.
Marital relationships.
Coming up. And so there are a few questions we can ask regarding entertainment and free time, people do that in their, because I think we have this. Oh, no, it's time for us to close out. I don't think we need to open up this.
No, we don't have But I think that may be good just to just put it on the minds of the people, and then, you know, also you can give them the information between now and, inshallah, next Thursday, they'll be able to get the copy of the premarital questionnaire and what it is that under the next category that we can, that we'll be undertaking, and they can be thinking about those things. So if you would just, you might want to just read that and put it on the minds of the people as to what we'll be looking at tackling come next Thursday, inshallah.
And so what we'll be looking at then will be in our marital relationship. Earlier, what we did when we were talking about the marriage expectations, now we're talking about the marital relationship. So we'll look at that next week. And for those of you who want to go ahead and do a preview of it and look at some of these questions, then definitely go to our social media. We have Bring It to the Lab. And Bring It to the Lab is on Facebook and on Instagram. You can go ahead and follow us and like us on both of those. And on those, you can scroll and find the posts, because we have posts about all of our programs that Brother Mark is going to talk about in just a moment. So we have posts about all of our programs. But there is a post that talks about the premarital questionnaire. If you go to that post, you can click the link, and it will take you to the questionnaire, and you will have it for yourself right there. And you can go through and look at all the questions, because it's about 200 or more questions that are there. And they're important questions. So when we look at the marital relationship next week, when we look at that, then we'll really be delving into what are the expectations inside of that marriage relationship, not just what do you think about marriage, but what are the expectations inside of the marriage itself that you want to see, based on what you've already seen. And that's what I keep saying to us, and I think it's important for us to really examine our own experiences so that we will be able to know for ourselves what we personally need. When we did the axiology, it was based on our own personal values, our own personal experiences, and we know what we want in our lives. So based on that, we make decisions. So the same thing will happen with marital relationships, inshallah. We'll look at that. We're right at the top of the hour. I just want to thank you all for your patience. I thank Brother Rashid Salam for being available and stepping in to engineer and to assist us. Thank Dr. Patricia for being available and stepping in. We have here in Atlanta a conference going on for our national educators. We have educators who come from all over the country for our Clara Muhammad School Network. So I was busy with that. So I thank both of them for stepping in. And that's what good friends do. They step in and they got your back, and I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And as always, I thank you, Mark, for all that you do. And to our listening audience, thank you for being a part of what we're doing here as we try to stabilize and advance our families and our marriages. So thank you, and we look forward to communicating with you on our social media. So we do like it when you like our posts and engage with us on those posts, because it just helps us to grow our community there. So again, we thank you, and I turn it over to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And I want to thank you, Quran Shakir, for all that you do and the insight and wisdom that Allah has blessed you with for many, many years, and now you're sharing it on this platform, of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank the radio listening audience for tuning in. Once again, do apologize for the little technical difficulties we had at the very beginning. But for those of you who were able to stick and stay and not stray away, we hope and pray that you did benefit from tuning in tonight and listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we hope and pray that you come back next week. And we want you to see this as a family affair. Please bring somebody back with you. Don't come back by yourself. We are beyond this premarital questionnaire, as Quran has said. These are very, very vitally essential questions that we need to ask. As Quran said, it is in fact-finding, And we want you to always remember those prerequisites in terms of sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency, so that you can share this. And please share this with members in your community. Share it with your resident imams. Let's try to work to standardize this. It can always be improved upon, addendums, modifications, deletions, or whatever it is that we think that we need to do to make it the best that we possibly can. But I think it's a good document to start with and to institute in our community. So please help us, help Karen and myself, to get this standardized in our community and share it with other religious communities and other faith-based religious communities. And so the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Juma Day, Muslim worldwide. And for those who are immobilized and can't get out and about to their local masajids and Islamic centers, please come back to IWDM Radio with the email Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, for Salatu Juma that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production here is Words Make People, once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, as we always have very intriguing guests and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. So that happens every Sunday afternoon. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. So please tune in for that. At the beginning of the week, we have the very distinguished, esteemed Rashid Salam and his returning guest that he has, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, who is a centimetry coach. He's not only a coach, but he is also a professor of centimetry and has some excellent information. That's each and every Tuesday, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And then Wednesday is the Sister Learning Lab, as you heard it yesterday, with Dr. Patricia Slodin, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. We got off to a good start yesterday, and the new publication text that we'll be using on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, which is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah, and Practical Examples for Various Ages. Oh, you don't want to miss that. And so you want to go ahead and get that book ordered. You can order it through Amazon. Remember that the name of the book is Parenting Skills Based on the Quran and the Sunnah, Practical Examples, Practical Examples of Various Ages, Various Ages and all. It's an excellent textbook, a lot of great information in that, so you can purchase that and follow along with us in the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And of course, following that is the MGM Roundtable, and we always have very distinguished, esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that are pertinent to for us as a community. As yesterday, we had a very distinguished sister, Karan Shakir, a.k.a. Madam Q, on with us. And we found out some things about her that we didn't know, but we shouldn't be surprised. There's a lot of blessed with so much, and she's given so much to this community. She's one of the jewels in our community. So it's persons like that that will always be appearing on the round table. We have somebody very, very special next week, so you want to tune in, listen in. I'm going to keep it a surprise, so you have to tune in to know who's at the MGM Roundtable, who's at the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, and which brings us back to the night, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed co-host and co-facilitator and producer, Karan Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And so that's each and every Thursday that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast time right here on IWDM Radio. Please don't come back by yourself. Make sure you bring somebody along, a family member, a friend, an associate, a neighbor, a community member. Please help get the word out. And because you want to love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. By the way, we want to remember the Study Al-Islam is back in force. My beloved sister and my good friend, Fitra Muhammad. So you want to tune in each and every Sunday morning. If you're in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, it begins at 10 a.m. for you. If you're in the Central Standard Time Zone, it's 9 a.m. And you're out on the West Coast, it is 7 a.m., so please tune in for that. And last but not least, IWDM, we do support the Muslim Journal as it is the lifeblood of our community. So make sure that you keep your subscription up. And if it has let your prescription, yeah, it is a prescription, but I'm talking about subscription here. Make sure that you keep your subscription. And if there is somebody that you know and you love and care for, also get a subscription for them as a gift, maybe a friend, maybe an associate, a neighbor, or a community member. And so with that being said, once again, thank you, Radio Listening Audience. Is for you and yours. Assalamu alaikum.